Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, it's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Bharati Jagdish and Ryan Huang. It's time now for Why It Matters.
So as we start the new year, let's take a look at some of the key events to watch out for in the coming months. Back home, right at the top of the list, I say, will be Budget 2022 to be unveiled on February the 18th.
So we've got a hint from our Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong in his New Year's address last Friday, one of the areas of focus. And Ryan, you were talking about this, that GST hike. But to be fair, we were given a warning about, what, 2 years plus ago?
Yeah, it could have been earlier, but of course, with COVID-19 coming through, that really just pushed back timing a bit. But maybe it could be time for it to finally land. And of course, it will be meaning a 2% hike or 2 percentage points to hike to 9%. And also around the region, there's the RCEP, or the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, to look forward to. That kicked into commencement on Saturday, the first day of the year. So that is the world's biggest trade deal. And that will mean possibly a bit of a lift for some of the countries involved in this trade pact.
Yep, we're looking out for rate hikes as well. On the line to help us out with that and a whole lot more, Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. Happy New Year to all of you.
Happy New Year to you too. So I want you to think about this. We're going to go around the room first and get a list of everyone's New Year's resolution. So Vishnu, hang on. Bharati, let's start with you.
Okay, make more money and retire early.
Okay, very
as
good.
As simple as that.
Very good.
When you work for a station called Money FM.
Ryan, have you thought of any?
Yeah, I am going to go with eat more of my wife's cooking.
Okay.
Not because it's bad, but because I think it helps us to spend more time together, and we've taken the easy or more convenient way out. More recently, you know, buying takeaways and all that.
You're a very wise man, Ryan. For me, I'm just going to run away from negative people a lot faster than I used to.
Very good.
Quite tired of it.
Time for losers.
What about you?
I'm actually getting envious listening to the resolutions, because those should be my resolutions. Really, mine is just to read a little bit more and think more importantly, think a little bit more. I think it gets harder as we get more information to actually sit down and think.
Oh, I think that's brilliantly put. All right, let's get into business.
Too much information indeed. But let's start with Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong and his New Year's address last Friday. He talked about the year ahead being a time of transition. The economy is recovering steadily after 2 years. He also gave a projection of what growth expectations are likely to be in the coming year. The Singapore economy expected to grow 3-5% in 2022. How does all of this align with your expectations, Vishnu?
I'm really sorry. I'm going to start off the year by being a typical economist and fence-sitting. That's how my forecast is going to look like. We're smack in the middle of that. We thought growth for this year should come in a smidge above 4%. Hmm. But rather than focusing on the number, the main point behind it is that there's some ongoing momentum that's quite important in keeping growth there. And I think the biggest moving part here is how quickly the regional economies can open up, because I think that's really what's going to drive the kind of synergies and so to speak, the multiplier effects that allow growth to get a real lift off. So putting the number aside, we're really looking at second half being where we get more durable momentum being generated.
And if we were to look at the fourth quarter GDP, I believe that's going to come out in about 20 minutes or so. What are we expecting? And, you know, considering that Omicron did hit towards the end of fourth quarter, what are your thoughts?
I think what's going to happen is Q4 is going to see a bit of luck in the sense that Omicron effects mostly would have glanced off the growth numbers. We're looking at growth coming in slightly under 5% for the quarter, and we are at the pessimistic end. I think, you know, it's as likely it'd be slightly above 5%, which means the full year growth is tipped slightly above 7%, which is a pretty solid print.
Now, Vishnu, let's talk about one of the things right at the top of the list, and that is the upcoming GST hike, and it's all about moving it up to 9% by 2025. What's your assessment of rolling this out in the current environment where we've got, you know, the ongoing risk of the economy just slowing down and the inflation that businesses and consumers are now facing? You know, costs are going up, and then if you add on GST to that, that's going to be even more headwinds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to totally agree with that. I mean, the banner here is It's inconvenient, but not impossible. But really, I'm also a little bit puzzled by the timing of it, because it is a pretty inconvenient time when there are a lot of cost push. It makes it trickier to ensure that you don't get slightly more amplified pass-through effects, so on and so forth. But I think the takeaway for most of us would be that it would have been inevitable anyway. If not this year, it would have been next year.
Of course, some people are suggesting that, in fact, you should cut GST and raise other forms of taxes, including perhaps the marginal tax rate in the highest income bracket or a wealth tax. What's your perspective on this?
I just wanted to start off by saying, Bharti, that in that case, you should have changed your resolution.
Ah. Let's not be too wealthy, yeah?
Making too much money up front would not serve you well.
Oh, that would hurt, wouldn't it? But people, some might say justifiable.
No, I mean, totally. I think it is justifiable. In fact, that should be the direction as a whole as we progress over the next few years. I take the point that wealth taxes are quite difficult to implement, but I think there are two things to bear in mind. One is we are going through a generational shift and a huge bequeathing exercise. So that's one reason we need to think about how taxes need to be refocused and retuned. But we can't run away from GST either, because that kind of baseline is required to make sure that we can fund a silvering population as well.
All right, we're on the line this morning with Vishnu Vairathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. PME also talking about how in the longer term, Singapore must also continue to seek out new growth areas and, of course, create new jobs, things like pursuing trade liberalization via the RCEP, which comes into force 1st January 2022. So that's 2 days old. Vishnu, for businesses, what type of impact and benefits can they expect from RCEP?
I think doing business regionally might get easier. And I'm not saying anything that nobody knows here, so forgive me for stating the obvious, but Singapore has already got a lot of FTA agreements that would have given Singapore advantages that are already, advantages would pre-exist for Singapore that would come with RCEP. But what RCEP does is that it harmonizes a lot of the taxes, the caps, the integration across the region. So this makes for a much stronger regional economic performance and synergies which Singapore can tap on. So that's very important. And I think what's even more important strategically is that at a time when there are continuing US-China tensions, the ability to form a bloc means that regional trade gets a bit more of a buffer from what could otherwise have been more disruptive shocks to recircuiting the supply chains, so on and so forth. And I think the best part of RCEP is it raises the barriers to impose trade barriers, as quirky as that sounded.
Vishnu, what else is on your budget wish list, specifically also in terms of how the government could balance better between rolling out more support and building up the coffers moving ahead?
That's a very good question, and I don't think I've got anything revelatory or groundbreaking in my mind. I used to be an accountant, so in a past life, so all I'm thinking is probably this budget would have to rein in some of the spending at the margin. So a lot more would go into investment type of spending that's going to lift up growth potential in terms of human capital. I think that's where a lot of the focus would be. And as we all discussed earlier, funding that on a durable basis becomes the elephant in the room, really.
All right, Vishnu, let's take a step back and look at the macro backdrop with expected 3 rate hikes being outlined by the Fed. And here's a tune I've been hearing you sing. Now, Vishnu, you're expecting a bit of a Kokomo dollar. Why is that?
I just wanted to say, first of all, that if I sang it, it wouldn't sound like that, and you wouldn't want to play it. But I mean, I love that song, and the Kokomo Fed really is one that's going to get there fast because they're deemed to have fallen behind the curve, so they're going to move pretty quickly, but then take it slow, because I think the underlying growth factors and many other fundamentals of the economy may not hold up as well, which is going to make landfall as a, so to speak, Kokomo dollar. And that conjecture really is that the dollar may be strong in the first half of the year, where other major central banks such as the ECB may very obviously be lagging the Fed in their hawkish stance. But as the ECB and the rest start catching up with the Fed in the second half, including, you know, down under RBA and all, then you'll see the dollar mellow off. So we don't think it's going to be a linear path that way either. A lot of volatility with Omicron, so on and so forth. But generally, that would be an easy way to oversimplify it.
Mm. Vishnu, I'm curious about this. I'm curious to get your thoughts, actually. You've got the Fed tightening, and then you've got China moving in the opposite direction amid slowing growth. What do we need to watch out for here when we have this sort of central bank divergence?
That's a very good question, and one that we haven't really tested out. I think anything that we want to talk about probably ought to be premised with the fact that, you know, China's fairly closed capital account means that some of that disruptions or ripples may not be felt as much as we fear. You know, so China is pretty much contained in its monetary policy. The interesting thing to see is how much the PBOC thinks the renminbi is overvalued, because any adjustment to the renminbi would be felt a bit more acutely in the region. Our big sense here is that you would see the renminbi weakening by about 3 to 4% in the first half of the year, but perhaps end this year stronger than it ended last year, potentially. And the inflation differential between US and China, that's to say US having higher inflation than China, alongside China's very strong capital account, means that the renminbi could be a lot more stable and a lot stronger than people expect it to be, given the policy divergence. So that's probably something we probably want to pay attention to, because it means that Asian currencies overall, by the end of this year, may not be set back by as much as we may otherwise think.
Just looking specifically at China's property sector, Vishnu, though, because that's been under the spotlight for most of the year. Moving forward, can we expect ripple effects of these to percolate into Asia, the rest of Asia?
That was one of our fears, that it would. It inevitably would, because it, just by its sheer heft, you know, constituting almost a third of China's economy, it means that China's ability to offset any property sector ripples would be very difficult. So the key question now is, as PBOC and Beijing generally go into easing mode, how much pressure are they going to take off the property sector? Our sense is that there'll still be a few defaults, controlled defaults, and it's going to have some softening impact on parts of the credit market. But we would probably avert widespread financial crisis from this, because I think Beijing is accelerating some of the stimulus it can to cushion the other sectors.
All right, excellent stuff as always. We've been speaking with Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
My pleasure. Stay safe.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.